to his house. We come to hear his word. And we come to fellowship. Because the love of God is a priority with God. Our love towards one another is a priority with God. It's a priority with God. Hallelujah. You come to church to be blessed. You come to church to get repaired in the places where you've been broken. You come to church to be healed, delivered, set free. You come to church to learn more about your Father God. So it is God's will that we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you hear the word of God, receive the word of God. I repeat, as you hear the word of God, receive the word of God. Hide that word deep in your heart and nurture it. Because God expects you to take the very word that you have heard, the very word that you are hearing, and take it out of this church, applying it to your life. The Lord don't want you to be one thing in church and something else outside of church. Because you come to church, your family, your friends, those that know you should recognize a change in you, a progressive change in you, because you have been exposed to the Word of God and you have received the Word of God. I expect change, says the Lord. Not just hearers only. But I expect change in your life. Hear my word and do my word. Hearing is not enough. You've got to do what you hear. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Now, there was an interruption by the Holy Spirit to share that with you. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, right where you're sitting, just take a moment. Let's worship him. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. Father, we bless your name. Oh, we give you glory. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, as I was about to say earlier, it's important that we come fellowship together around the Word of God, loving one another, appreciating one another. Amen. I want to say this to you too. If you're not working, if you're not on your job, coming to church once a week is not enough. If the church doors are open twice a week, you need to be there. Unless you have a job or something very, very important that you have to take care of. Sometimes those things happen. Sometimes those things happen. What one of the concerns that I have, and notice I say concerns, not fears, concerns, that I have is that God's people, many of his people, don't recognize where we are in time. You hear me say all the time, we're living in the last days. You hear me say very often that we're living in the last of the last days. Do you know that the last days began on the day of Pentecost? Years ago? So we're in the last of the last days. And if we cannot see, the Bible is the greatest newspaper, if I can say it that way, you'll ever read, because it's always up to date. And not only is it up to date, it tells you ahead, gives you news before it happens. Jesus is coming. And when he comes, it's going to be quicker than that. And we're going to be out of here. Praise God. I didn't intend to say all that, but I don't apologize for it. But one final thing I want to say, and then we're going on into the Word of God. Fellowship is so vitally important because united we stand, divided we fall. And that principle applies spiritually and naturally. It applies in the body of Christ and it applies in the world. Amen. Remember the Tower of Babel? God says, I got to do something about that thing because they're unified. They're in agreement, which was all ungodly and wicked. So what did God do? He mixed up their tongues to where they couldn't understand each other. And their goals was to build that thing to heaven. And God says, if I let that happen, nothing can be withheld from this wicked bunch. Now, if the wicked can do that, how much more can we do? What can we accomplish if we will remain united in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Gather together in His name, fellowship together, pray for one another, love one another. The church is not a place for gossip. We don't come to church to get caught up on the latest news that's going around, the latest gossip. That's the reason some folk go to church. You hear me? That's the reason some folks go to church. And I hope you can say, not me. If you can say it loud. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we come to church to hear the word of God and to fellowship one with one another, keeping the body of Christ strong. Amen. Well, glory to God. I hope that blessed y'all. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to the 11th Matthew. The 11th chapter of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel. Glory be to God. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. We welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. And I say, Holy Spirit, continue to have your way in this service. Father, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice and all those that are watching the live stream will have ears to hear your word, a heart to receive your word. And not only a heart to receive your word, but a heart to walk it out in their lives, a heart to live it. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you for your anointing and your call upon me to minister your word. And Lord, we're going to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise God. And I know Miss Kathy did, but I also, let me say this, want to welcome each of you here this morning, and those that are watching the live stream, whether you watching it live or you're watching it later on, praise God, I welcome you. Hallelujah. And I just want to minister to you for a few minutes. Like I said, I'm not planning on being very long, but I want to minister to you using a subject, a place of rest. A place of rest. Now, in Matthew chapter 11, These are very familiar verses I'm about to read to you. Jesus said in verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what our Lord says. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So we have to ask ourselves a question, if this question applies to us. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why am I carrying a heavy burden? Why am I so loaded down?" We used to sing a song. I'm trying to remember the name of the song. Barbara used to lead it. What's the heavy load song? What's the name of it? Get rid of my heavy. Priscilla, y'all, Corey, y'all remember? We sang it downtown. Shake off those heavy bands. Shake off those heavy bands. Amen. We hadn't sang that in a long time. But you know what? That's what we should do. We should never use cares of this life as a tool to get attention. Now, I just said a mouthful. I don't know if y'all realize that or not. Let me say this again. We should never use the cares of this life as a tool to get attention. Now, you know, you can go on social media. If you want to hear some problems, I'm talking church folk problems. I'm not on social media. My wife is, but I'm not. And I don't have any plans for going on it anytime soon. I have no plans for going on it. But you wouldn't believe the stuff folks post. Talk to God about it. Stand on his word. We all have stories that we could tell. We all have had challenges in our lives, right? Some of you may be going through a challenge right now. I don't know. I hope not. But if you are, I'll tell you this, you have the victory through Jesus Christ. Let you know up front, you already have the victory. Don't you throw in the towel. Did you hear me? Don't throw in the towel. Let me speak to our streaming audience. Don't you throw in the towel. Jesus Christ has your answer. Don't throw in the towel. But on the other hand, don't pet it. Don't stroke it. Jesus went through many challenges. All you have to do is read the Gospels. They tried to kill him. They tried to catch him in his words. They tried to trip him up. Had a visit from Satan himself. But I have not seen anywhere in the Word of God where Jesus ever said, "Poor little me. Life is so hard." What am I going to do? What did Jesus do? He dealt with the situation. "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of my face." He put the word of God on him, didn't he? Sometimes they would be scheming, try to get him, and Jesus would just disappear right out the crowd. And I know what some folks think. "Yeah, Pastor, but that's Jesus." Well, I got good news for you. That same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead also dwells in you. Amen. Now, I didn't say you could go disappearing when you wanted to. I didn't say that. But what I am saying is God knows how to take care of you. God knows how to take care of his own. Are you still here? He knows how to take care of his own. Praise the name of the Lord. So we should be joyous. We should be rejoicing. Not complaining. It's okay to share with your brother or sister, especially if you want them praying with you and standing with you. If I needed to talk with someone about a situation that I may be dealing with, I'm not telling them so that they could feel sorry for me. So they could go home and talk to their family member and friends and say, "Poor little pastor, do you know what all he's dealing with? This, poor thing." No, I want your prayers. I want you standing with me. I want us agreeing together, touching and agreeing together that we have the victory in this thing. Remember these two words. Victory minded. Victory minded. Victory minded. I remember a little cartoon years ago. I didn't actually see it myself. Somebody was talking about it. Y'all remember the cartoon Dennis the Menace? Some of you that's old enough. I think that was wasn't that a TV show? Also it was a TV show. And Dennis the Menace, he was a little troublemaker. And I don't know all the story, but his parents, it might have been his mom or his dad, I don't know. Who it was, might have even been a teacher. But he was being Dennis the Menace and doing his thing, and they told him, said, "Sit down. Stop what you're doing and sit down." And Dennis the Menace sat down, but he says, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Well, I'm not saying be Dennis the Menace because he was aggravating. But you know what? When it comes to situations and circumstances in your life, even when it's things you cannot do, you stand up on the inside. You stand up on the inside. You hear me? I say you stand up on the inside. You're not defeated until you lose heart. You're not defeated until you give up. You're not defeated until you throw in the towel and say, I quit. Let me move on. Hallelujah. Didn't I tell y'all I wasn't going to be long? Amen. God wants us, listen to me, God wants us to live in a state of rest and peace. Not turmoil. And some of the most complaining and fearing are coming from church folk. Hopefully nobody in this church. Because God's word tells us very clearly, very plain, that he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. You still here? I say he hadn't given us the spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God gave us. Praise the name of the Lord. And some of the objects of our frustration and our fears and so forth is our financial condition, maybe family, something going on in our family, the state of things that's going on in this world. Well, we're not burying our heads in the sand and pretend that nothing is happening. Hopefully you are praying. Hopefully you are praying, and hopefully you are voting when voting time come around. Because even as believers, we have that. That's our responsibility. But we need to be praying. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37. One of my favorite chapters. Psalm 37. There are four things that the Word of God tells us in the 37th Psalm. Well, that I want to bring out to you. Let me read it to you. I'll just pick it up at verse 3. I recommend that you read the whole chapter in your spare time. But in verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. There's four things that I want to bring out to you again. You've heard them before, most likely. But please apply this to your life. The first thing it tells us to do is in verse 3, trust in the Lord. Trust God. well, Pastor, I don't understand this, and I don't understand this, and what about this, and what about that? Number one, trust God. Even this pandemic that don't want to ever seem to go away, the first time I heard about it, one thing I realized right off the bat, I'm going to have to trust God. I'm going to have to trust God. Now, God had a, excuse me, had a calling on my life, still does. And we sing it earlier. Before I was ever born, now I'm talking about me personally, but this also applies to you too. Before I was ever born, God knew me. Say amen.
Amen.
Say it not for me, say it for you. Amen.
Amen.
So before I was ever born, God knew me. Before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, God had a plan for my life. Are you still here? God had a plan for my life. There are some things that God wanted to do through me and through you. Guess what? The devil wants to short circuit that if he can. And all we have to do is look back at Jesus, because he is our example. Before the foundation of the world, God already had it planned that he was going to send his son into this earth to redeem us who needed a savior. And down through the generations, beginning even in the book of Genesis, the devil knew that the Son of God would be coming. Matter of fact, God told him that the seed of this woman, Eve, so you'll strike his heel, bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Down through the generations, the devil was looking for him, looking for him, looking for him, looking for him. Because he wanted to disrupt the plan of God. And when he found out that he was born, guess what? He tried to take him out. But he didn't. There were many young children that was killed because they was trying to find Jesus. But because Jesus knew that he had a purpose, he himself said, I lay down my life. No man take it from me. In other words, I'm not going out of here until I finish what my Father sent me to do. Well, I thought I'd have got a better amen than that. So we got to understand, I'm here. There's purpose to my life. Yeah, Pastor, but what about this and what about this and what about this? I'm not responsible for anybody but me. Well, this happened, that happened, doesn't it? I don't have all the answers for that. But I know that I've got to trust God. Even the Apostle Paul, when he left, Nero had him taken out. He had this testimony: I finished my course. I kept the faith. I'm ready to be offered up. That's what he said. Now, Paul himself, he wanted to go before that. He wanted to go before that, but the church still needed him. You still here? The church still needed him. So Paul says, no. I would prefer to, it's better to be with the Lord than to be here on this earth. It is better to be with the Lord. He said, I'm paraphrasing now. He said, but for your sakes, I'm gonna hang around a while longer. I got a job to do. I was sent to do a job, and I'm not leaving until I complete it. Is that your attitude? I hope so. See, that's the reason. I've been ministering on wisdom and asking God for wisdom. And we need godly wisdom in our lives, folks. We need godly wisdom in our lives. If any man or woman lack wisdom, let them ask of God. The Apostle Paul was a wise man. He was a wise man. He was hooked up with God. There's times that they tried to get rid of him, but they couldn't until he was finished, until his job was finished. Can I stress something to you again, and you'll be hearing me say this a lot because it's so important. Saints of God, hear me. Please hear me. It's important that you receive wisdom from God. Now, it begins with the Word of God. Can I hear you? It begins with the Word of God. Sometime you're faced with a situation, all of a sudden a scripture pop up right out of your spirit. You'll know that, oh, that's God. This is what God wants me to do. This is what I should do. And then sometimes it may be something that that the Word of God doesn't cover. For example, who to marry, when to marry, should I get married, should I not get married? Should I date this guy? Should I not? Should I date this woman? Should I not? And even down to natural things like, should I buy this car or should I not? Because, it could be something wrong with it. And sometimes, there's not a verse of scripture that says, thou shalt not buy this car, or thou shalt buy this one. But sometimes you just need to pray and ask God to give you wisdom and to speak to your heart and let you know that I think I need to walk away from this one. Oh, I need to buy this one though. Listen to me. Be good hearers. Sometimes you don't even necessarily have to be that spiritual if you just listen when people are talking. Let's go back to the car example again. Should I buy this car? Let the salesman talk, or the salesperson. Let them talk, you listen. Having prayed before you went. See, I'm talking from experience, because I've missed it before, even in cars. I missed it big time. God's had to get me out of more messes because of bad decisions. Am I the only one? I got my hand up. I just want to know if I got some company in here. Come on. Don't lie in church now. Amen. But even when I missed it, God delivered me. Kathy and I leased a car that we couldn't afford. I'm not going to put her in it. She was there, but I made the final decision. Leased a car that we couldn't afford because there was a fast-talking salesman. This hadn't been no time recent. Matter of fact, we wasn't even pastoring then. But there was a fast-talking salesman, he talked me into buying this car. And we should have known this before we bought it, but after we bought it, we found out we couldn't pay for the thing. And I remember, God is so good. He's been faithful. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I was in my bedroom praying about our bills, about this car I bought, this brand new car that I leased, sitting out in the yard that I can't pay for. And I'm just talking to God about it. You know what God told me? Stop talking about the car and start thanking me for what you do have. Because I was talking to him about what we didn't have. Lord, we need money. Lord, I'm not able to pay my bills. And Lord, I sure can't pay for that car out there. You know, she was praying too. And Lord, I can't pay. You start thanking me for what you have. Matter of fact, he spoke to me. I knew it was God. I knew where I was. I was in my bedroom. He said, look up. And I looked up. He asked me, do you have a roof over your head? Yes, sir. Thank me for having a roof over your head. Now, we had this car that we leased, and we had an older car because we needed both cars. She was working, I was working. And so he said, look out in your front yard. There was a brand new shiny car that I couldn't pay for sitting there. And there's my other jalopy sitting there. Do you have a way to ride? Yes, sir. It ain't pretty, but it's still running. Thank me for having a way to ride. And I began to thank God. God got me out of the mess that I got myself in. No, we didn't keep the car. But God got me out of the mess that I was in. Canceled some debt that I had as a result of this bad decision. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, God is good. I'm not going to finish. We have to understand, we've got to walk in wisdom. We've got to walk in the wisdom of God. And it begins by walking in the Word of God. Do what you know to do. Let me say it again. Do what you know to do. Do the Word of God. Do the Word of God. Do the Word of God. And God will fill in, the Holy Spirit will fill in all the other blanks for you. Is there another amen out there somewhere?
Amen.
Well, glory to God. This today has been a little bit unusual, hasn't it? You know what I pray when I'm back in my office and when I'm at my house? I don't believe in coming out here just hollering at y'all, looking at my wife, saying, oh, about that time, let me go out there and get this over with. No. You are people for whom Christ died. And you are important to me because you are important to God. So when I open my mouth to speak to you the word of God, I want to be saying the right thing at the right time. Anointed by the Holy Spirit. Y'all still here? Hallelujah. So the Lord led me in a little different direction this morning. But that's all right, ain't it? I said, that's all right. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if you hadn't been here, you wouldn't have got that. Well, I'm going to watch it later on the stream. That's good and fine. Thank God for the stream. But you know what? Stream ain't like being here. The stream is good, but it ain't like being here.